The Denver Nuggets got it done tonight in a very important home divisional game. Haven't been playing all that well. Took on Portland, got the job done. Oh, and by the way, set an NBA record in the process. Joining us now is our Denver Nuggets insider, Matt Moore. And in on the land of Twitter, at least follow him at HB Basketball, and you can find him at the Action Network. Matt, let's just start off with the obvious here. Nikola Jokic was doing Nikola Jokic things. 41 points, 5 and 5. Jamal Murray, of course, being the second leg of the stool. And for the Broncos, for the Nuggets, they always have to find a third. Tonight, I don't know if they found a third, but they found a few thirds. Zeke Nnaji, Michael Porter Jr., Will Barton, a lot of guys contributed, even though they only played 8. How big a win was this for the Nuggets?
I think it was pretty big. I think anytime that you get a division win, that's good. I think anytime you get a home win, especially this season, I think it's good. I think getting both of those, getting one versus a team that quite honestly is the closest thing they have to a rival in Portland, maybe Utah, in that category as well. I think that's a good win. I think being able to kind of shake off and look like the team that you want to look like, even without Gary Harris and PJ Dozier, that's good. You get a really good game out of Michael Porter Jr., even though he didn't like light up the scoreboard. He shot well. He was efficient. He played defense. He was locked in. This is like the third game where he looked pretty good defensively. Real improvement there. And then the fourth quarter, you get a Murray flurry as he just absolutely goes toe-to-toe with Damian Lillard and wins the matchup. I thought that their defense, the numbers aren't good defensively, mostly because of the second quarter where Melo had his little nice cute stint. And then other than that, I thought Denver played really good defensively, and this is a quality win in terms of how they were able to play and the model for what they want to be.
Carmelo Anthony with 19 in the first half. That happens. But Damian Lillard with 5 in the first half. And you would have thought maybe without Gary Harris, that was going to be impossible. What did the Nuggets do to contain Lillard, a guy that constantly gives them nightmares?
I actually disagree with that, Sean. If you actually look back, that's actually not the case. If you go back and you actually look through, Damian Lillard has the worst field goal percentage versus the Denver Nuggets versus any Western Conference team over the last 3 seasons versus Denver. That's the lowest number that he has. And the reason is because Denver's scheme specifically combats it. So we talk about this all the time, right? How the Nuggets play up at the level of the screen. If there is one player, I can name you one superstar who gets bothered by that more than any other, it's Damian Lillard. He has a really hard time with it. Now, a lot of it's because he doesn't have a guy like Draymond Green to roll, right, and punish him. And you saw it tonight, like especially late in the game, like all those Enes Kanter easy dunks. In the beginning of the game, the Enes Kanter easy dunks. The rotations where Kanter would grab it and then throw up a 3. That's all how that's supposed to work. But Lillard has a really hard time with it, and Denver does a really good job. Jokic in particular, I thought Hardenstein tonight too, do a really good job of staying up at the level. And when Lillard tries to reject the screen and go the other way, the guards, especially Faco Composite tonight, did a really great job of disrupting his dribble and staying on him. It was a rough night for Dame, I think, on top of that. Like, he could score anyway, but I think Denver's scheme allows them to play Lillard especially well. If you remember in the playoff series, it was CJ McCollum that tore him up.
Absolutely.
Dame had a pretty quiet series, so I think that this is really a good matchup. If you can believe that Damian Lillard is a good matchup for anybody, it's a good matchup for Denver.
And you're right. They were very fortunate. McCollum out with that broken left foot. They're losing by 5 points. You think they have McCollum, maybe it's a totally different thing. They got nothing from Robert Covington, who's a pretty multidimensional guy. He's not a huge scorer, but they really got nothing out of him tonight. Lillard still finished with 25 and 13, but it was inefficient. And you brought up Campazzo. Campazzo tonight, really, as he's getting more time, starting to look a little more comfortable. I know you and I both have concerns about the size and how he can hold up, but he seems to be taking advantage of some of the things he can do. I mean, he was basically on Damian Lillard like a shirt for the majority of the night. And you're right, you could tell it bothered him. The assist rate is getting better. There's a few things that Campazzo's doing that makes him look like he's starting to belong at the NBA level. What are you seeing from him in the last week or two?
I mean, it's divisive. There are Nuggets people who think that he's looked awesome the last 2 weeks. And there are people that, like me, that have been like, well, yeah, he's made some nice plays, but teams are still largely, like, whenever I go back and I watch clips,
they're ignoring him offensively.
I go through the game again, it just really stands out that the size stuff is a problem. And late in the game, actually, there was an important sequence where They ran side pick and roll. The Blazers decided to overload that side, and Campazzo was open in the corner, had space versus Carmelo Anthony, and couldn't do anything. That's a problem if you can't get past Melo at this point in his career. But I will say, I think, look, matchup dependent, I think he's going to be very valuable. If you're playing a team with quick, small guards, which is almost entirely what Portland has, then I think you have a real capacity to use Campazzo, and he can be really disruptive. If you're playing a team with a young backcourt that's got a weak handle, Campazzo can absolutely feast on them. Like, there are situational positions where Campazzo is really disruptive. He is top 10 in the NBA in deflections, the stat that the NBA has thankfully started tracking, which is a much better metric than steals. He's extremely disruptive when he's disruptive. When he's not, they just ignore him because he's too small. But I think in certain situations, he can be really effective. And I do think that there are ways that he facilitates the way the Nuggets play with his passing ability. He also had just an absurd behind-the-back pass tonight that was a highlight reel all over Twitter.
The performance by Michael Porter Jr. led the team in minutes after getting only 19 against Atlanta. It was interesting. Like you said, the numbers don't leap out at you. 12 and 10, the 10 rebounds leading the team. But it seems to be that the effort is becoming consistent, even though there are significant mistakes still being made at times when it comes to the defense. But what are you seeing in his maturity as a player over the course of maybe just these last three or four games, the experience of which has been really different in all of them?
He just came on media post game and said that one reason he's improved his readiness defensively, and I assume that means, you know, working on scouting reports and drilling concepts, is he was tired of, quote, y'all, the media, saying he doesn't play defense. So, hey, if that's what it takes, at least I think it's a good outcome for Denver. And quietly, like, there's been that kind of sentiment from whenever you asked about that around the Nuggets. It's like, look, if he doesn't play well, you can say it. You know, there's worse things for him to find that out. I think he's been really good over the last, really, since the Boston game, I think he's been really good. I think I genuinely was confused why Malone benched him last game. I thought those problems were not on him. And Malone said after the game, like, well, I benched everybody. I was like, yeah, but you let other guys, like Zeke Nnaji, who got torched that game, and Nnaji was good tonight too, come back in, and MBJ did not. So it was good to see the trust that he had in him. MBJ came up and congratulated him after the game for such a good game. And Porter told him, you know, I just want to win. Porter post-game did say things like, he did make several mentions when we talked about his defense of, you know, I'm not going to always get all the touches that I want. And that's when I got focused on these other things. And then later he said, you know, there's not a lot of plays being run for me. So it's like, you still get the sense of where his head's at. But I think he's fitting in a lot better. We talked about this all through the season, where it just didn't look like he knew how to play 5-on-5. That's gone away. He has caught back up to being where he was last season, and that's a big step for the Nuggets. He doesn't have to be dominant. The rebounds were great. The defense was solid. He provided a scoring threat that the Blazers had to respect, and that opened things up for Murray and Jokic. And he did his job and helped get the win tonight. Really good game for MPJ.
We're talking with Matt Moore. And, Matt, the idea, we talked about this a couple games ago with Porter. Since Paul Millsap has been out, Porter Jr. has looked like a pretty good fit at the four. Now, you pointed out that it's situational, of course, at certain times. But is there a concern that since he's been kind of spending some time there, when Millsap's comes back, what do they do with Porter? Because it seems like they kind of have something clicking. Porter's traction as an NBA player has really cranked up with Millsap being out. Now, obviously, you don't want Millsap out. But what's the concern when he comes back? Is that possible it could set Porter Jr. backwards?
I think it'll honestly be this. If they're winning, MPJ stays. That's what I think honestly happens. I legit think that that's what occurs. Because
Millsap would come off the bench?
Yeah, I can conceptualize that. I can see that. With where Millsap's at in his career, I can definitely see that. Because you justify it early. It's like, hey, we want to get Paul adjusted. He's just coming back from injury. You know, we want to see how we go. And then if you're playing well, they'll stick with it. Because that was the whole reason that Porter came off the bench. When he came back, was they were really bad when he started. He left. They started winning. He came back. And so he went to the bench to not disrupt what the starters were doing. And so if they find something, I think that they'll stick with it. I think this continues to be an awkward situation. We've known this in preseason. They got six starters. And they're going to have to figure that out. And it continues to be a problem. I think it's hard if you're going to really get into it, to say that MPJ deserves to start over Millsap based off of play. But, you know, there are larger objectives for the team long-term that have to be considered. If they're winning, I think that that's what happens. But if they, you know, they've been in a rough spot the last couple of games, this was a good win. They haven't been bad. They haven't been good for, you know, 10 days or so. And so really since the Lakers game. And so I would say at some point, if they slide back into that and Millsap comes back, then Millsap gets reinserted. It entirely depends on, is this working? Because that's what I think Malone cares about in the regular season.
Rookie Zeke Nnaji had a pretty good game, as you pointed out, plus 10 in the plus minus 10 points in 24 minutes. My concern with Nnaji, and of course he's a rookie. I mean, I'm not looking at expecting to come in and be an all-star. But for a guy at his size, he's 6'9". I know that's not overwhelming, but he seems to be a really subpar rebounder for a guy with his size that plays where he plays. Is that something you're seeing, and how can the Nuggets work to teach him to remedy that?
I mean, I think it's a problem just because he's so, like, look at him. He's rail thin. And it's funny, when you go back and you watch his college tape, he looked so big. He looked dominant.
Right,
he looked like DeAndre Jordan. But at the NBA level, it's just different. And but I'll tell you this, like, Sean, 2 years in an NBA strength and training and conditioning program, that won't be a concern. I think in time he'll become a better rebounder. I also think a lot of it is, you know, he's guarding a lot of stretch fours. He's also playing in large part the Jeremy Grant role from last year. If you remember, Grant didn't rebound well.
You're right.
That was the big deficiency with Grant, was like he didn't rebound. I think in the lineups where he's playing with MPJ, MPJ's a great rebounder. Let MPJ rebound and let Zeke Nnaji take some of the tougher defensive assignments, because he's shown some really good stuff there, even though he's gotten torched, as most rookies will do, over the last couple of games by shooters. I think it's not something to be really concerned with long term. It's a short term deficiency, but Denver hasn't been a poor defensive rebounding team this season. And until that becomes the case, I don't think it's something to really overly focus on.
The Nuggets, probably out of the 8 guys that played, didn't have a single bad performance tonight. The defense was pretty good all around. They end up beating the Blazers at home. Oh, and they set the NBA record for the fewest turnovers in a game with 1, and that was from Jamal Murray, who had 8 assists. I imagine we saw very pleased Michael Malone after the game.
Yeah, he was pretty excited. He was in a really good spot. This was, you know, look, the numbers aren't going to say they defended well again because of that second quarter, but outside of that, they did. I think also when you look at the way that they didn't turn the ball over, they played defense, they beat a good team. And that's proof for Malone of concept, right? You're able to tell the guys, look, if we do this, this is what we can do. They got great performances from Murray and Jokic. He's able to feel good about that. He got good stuff from MPJ. He's able to feel good about that. This was exactly the type of win that Michael Malone, I think, aspires to with this team. This was a model for what they want to see.
The next 3 games on their schedule, Washington on Thursday, Oklahoma City on Saturday, and then Chicago to begin next week. You're talking about all 3 of those teams having losing records. At the very beginning of the year when they played against the Kings, you brought it up. The Nuggets on those games against the Lakers and the Clippers, those are just going to go the way they go. You want to see them beat the teams they're supposed to beat. They didn't do it last week. How important is it that they do it over the next 3?
It's important just because they need to get some momentum hanging into the All-Star break and steady the ship a little bit. But the problem is, this is a trap schedule. Washington has won 5 of 6 after they lost on a back-to-back to the Clippers in a game they made competitive down the stretch. The Bulls are sneaky, really. That's a playoff team, at least in the Eastern Conference. That is not a bad team. So they're pretty good. The Thunder, they've shown they can handle. They should win that game, but you know, the more it's like, well, they should handle it, that raises the warning concerns. But they've been better as of late versus the really bad teams. But I think this is a pretty dangerous part of the schedule. These are wins they need, but these are also spots versus teams that are pretty good that can score, especially. And that's been, I think, going to be, this is a test for, okay, can you carry what defensive improvements you found forward? Can you, are the new lineups that you're trying, is this going to work down against other teams? Can you sustain this? This is a challenging stretch because, again, you play those really tough teams. Most of them are going to be coin flips. This team's good enough to compete with those teams. You need to show that you can handle your business and rack up some wins. Get yourself some space from over 500. Get yourself back firmly into the non-play-in playoff space.
You're a smarter basketball fan. If you keep paying attention to Matt Moore, you can follow him on Twitter at HP Basketball and check out everything he puts together on the Action Network. A good talking to you. This was a good one. This feels like a bit of a momentum changer. Let's see if they can keep it going. Looking forward to checking back with you after the game against Washington. Thanks a lot.
Talk soon, Sean.
All right. That's Matt Moore. And, yeah, he's exactly right when he talks about Lillard. Lillard does not dominate the Denver Nuggets. But you can see what he can do in brief moments, because obviously he started with 5 points in that first half, finishes with 25 to go along with 13 assists. A very, very dangerous player that the Nuggets did a very good job containing. And when you get 25 and 13 and you're considered well contained, you know how good you really are. Carmelo Anthony, by the way, for those of you who are into the schadenfreude of it, has yet to win a game in Denver as a member of any other team but the Denver Nuggets. Pretty remarkable. The story of Tiger Woods continues to be one that's fascinating, one that can be meshed with brilliance and with sort of unfortunate moments. A statement by Tiger Woods' team recently about his medical situation. We'll give you that next.